We shall turn now to the portion of God's Word read in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 17, and we shall read verse 32 just now. Luke chapter 17, verse 32, the words of the Savior, "Remember Lot's wife." Three very simple words and easy to remember. Remember Lot's wife. The Savior here is telling his disciples, and through them, through Luke, telling us of an event, but particularly a person that we do well to think about and to remember. We know, of course, that in human society, memorials are very important from one generation to the other. And we have various types of memorials and various types of remembrance edifices erected so that persons who have made some valuable or are considered to have made some valuable contribution to human society will not be forgotten, but they'd be remembered. We're all aware of remembrance gardens, of various types of places of memorial where, for example, the names are recorded of soldiers killed in war, and great persons in history like Napoleon or the Duke of Wellington or Shakespeare or whatever, people want to remember them. Now, Jesus here is telling us to remember this particular person who doesn't even have a name. And thus, we cannot believe that we are told to remember her because of some valuable contribution she made to human society or some benefit that she brought to mankind. The reason for her being remembered has to be for something very different. Remember Lot's wife. We know, of course, that she was a historical figure. She did exist. We know Lot existed, and we know that his wife existed. And though she passes very swiftly before us, we don't know anything of her history. We don't know anything of her parentage. We don't know her name. We don't know anything of her gifts or lack of them. The only thing we know is this: she was Lot's wife. And that is the person that Jesus says we are to remember. Now, we know from the book of Genesis what indeed did happen to Lot's wife. And Jesus, no doubt, when he makes this statement, is aware that those whom he's addressing know who he's talking about. It would have been senseless for the Savior to remember Lot's wife without some explanation if it were not that he knows these whom he's addressing know the person that he's referring to. They know about Lot. They know from the Scriptures who Lot was. And they know from the Scriptures that he had a wife. And they know what became of her. And what Jesus is saying is, he's warning here, remember Lot's wife, because there is every possibility that some may do just what she did and may have a similar end to what she had. In the verse 28 of this chapter, Jesus says, "Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. And what does Jesus go on to say? Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. He is speaking of threatenings and dangers that are to be escaped from. And then he refers to Lot's wife who should have escaped, but she perished. Remember what happened to Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. And we would seek then for a little to remember her and to consider why she is to be remembered. And in order to do that, we have to, of course, look at what is recorded in the Gospel, or rather in the book of Genesis, and in the 19th chapter very particularly. Because in that chapter, we have the record of her demise and how her life ended. And that is why we are to remember her. And the first thing that we may note is, remember Lot's wife because of this. She knew her danger, but she still perished. She knew her danger, and yet she perished. We are told that in verse 26 of Genesis 19, his wife, that is Lot, his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. She became a pillar of salt. She perished in the simplest terms. Her life came suddenly to an end. And yet, the fact is, she perished in spite of the knowledge she had of the danger that confronted her. In the previous chapter, we have the angels coming with the intention of destroying Sodom and Gomorrah, these wicked cities of the plain. And Lot and his wife and his family dwelt there. Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom, and his family were inhabitants or citizens of that city. Now, when the messengers come, they told Lot their mission, why they had come, what they intended to do. They were going to destroy the cities of the plain, and they inquired of Lot where his family were. Where are they? They need to be accounted for, and they need to be assembled because of the terrible danger they are in. If they continue here, they are going to perish along with all the others that are found in Sodom and Gomorrah. When God rains from heaven fire and brimstone and judgment upon these wicked, sinful people, your family, Lot, are going to be in real danger, and they need to escape. And we are told that they called Lot's family together and they warned them to escape. Lot, of course, responded by verse 14 of chapter 19 in Genesis. Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, go up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. The Lord will destroy this city. There's no doubt in the mind of Lot. It's going to happen. God is going to destroy this city. And we happen to be in this city. And we are under the threat of the judgment of God descending in us. But we're told he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Now we might think others, had they been addressed by Lot, they might have responded in the same way, including Lot's wife. She might have been like these sons-in-law, and it seemed as one that mocked, and it might have been the case, but it wasn't. Lot's wife responded differently. She actually came out of the city. She knew God is going to destroy this place. We're told, verse 15, when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest they be consumed in the iniquity of the city. There was absolutely no doubt that Lot knew what was going to happen. His daughters knew what was going to happen. Lot's wife knew what was going to happen. She knew the danger. And yet, her knowledge did not save her. She knew what she had to escape from. And yet she perished. Why is the Savior saying, remember Lot's wife? Why does he address us in his word that we should think about her and remember what happened? Because there are those under the gospel, under the preaching of the word, and they know their danger. They have been warned again and again through the preaching of the word, through the contents of the scriptures. They know their danger. They know they're on their way to eternity. They know they are sinners by nature and by practice. And they know that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. They know these things. And even their own consciences tell them that they are not in any state or condition of fitness to appear before God. And they know, and if they were asked, they would admit and acknowledge, I would not want tonight to meet God. I would not like to open my eyes in the eternal world. I trust that God will spare me yet, that I will not have to appear in my sinful condition in the presence of a holy God to answer for my life, and indeed to answer for my sins, for I know that I am a sinner. But we are to remember Lot's wife because she also, while she knew her danger, she had all the information needed to be saved, and yet she still perished. She wasn't left in the city in a hopeless condition, trembling and fearful. This city is going to be destroyed, but I've nowhere to go. I have nowhere that I can flee to. The angels hastened Lot and his family right out of the city, and they directed Lot and his wife and his family where they were to go to escape. Verse 17 of Genesis 19. It came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. They were told exactly the route to follow to escape. And Lot said unto them, O, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight. thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed, and so on. I cannot escape to the mountain lest some evil take me and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one, and my soul shall live? And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape hither. Not only did she know her danger, but she had all the necessary information to know where to escape to go to the place of refuge, to go to the city that was to be spared, that would not be destroyed. Escape for thy life. But she's not left wondering, well, where do I escape to? Where do I go? Where will I find a refuge? She knew the exact place where she must flee to and where she must go in a hurry. Haste, the angel said. You haven't time to waste. You cannot linger around. You must go directly to the place of refuge. And yet she perished, even with that information. I wonder tonight how many are languishing in a lost eternity, and they had all the information given to them in their lifetime as to the way of salvation. They could have called on, even preached the gospel, because they know the way of salvation. They were not left in ignorance. It wasn't that they didn't know where they could escape to from the wrath of God. They knew the way of salvation. It was perhaps presented to them even from childhood. And if you were to ask them how they thought a sinner should be saved, they would come up immediately with the answer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Remember Lot's wife. She perished, though she knew the way to escape. She knew the route to take to be saved. She knew the very city in which she would be saved. And yet she still perished. And there are some here. There's absolutely no doubt whatever regarding the fact they know the way of salvation. They know they need that salvation. And they know that Christ is the only Savior for them. And they know and they believe that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And they know that they need an atonement for their sin. They know they need to be justified before God, and they know that the only one who can save them is Jesus Christ. They have all the information. They know all the facts. And if you were to ask them the way of salvation, they could explain it. If you were to ask them where the refuge for a sinner is, they can point you to Jesus Christ. And yet, they are doomed to perish in their sins, like Lot's wife, unless they enter that refuge and enter that city, and she never did. Oh, she knew where to go, but she didn't make it. She knew where the refuge was, but she didn't make it in the appointed time. Remember Lot's wife. But then also, we must remember Lot's wife because she came out of Sodom. and yet she still perished. Now you see the awful scene that must have been witnessed, those cities, and the judgment fires of sulfur and brimstone pouring down. And you imagine the scene, the city in flames, the cries of the perishing in the flames of judgment, the awful cries that Lot can hear and his daughters can hear and that Lot's wife can hear, but they're behind them because they're out of the city. They're not in the city where the judgment are descending. And it might be thought, well, just so long as you're out of that city, you're safe. The fire and the brimstone is falling within the confines of those cities. If you are not in them, you are safe. In the second epistle of Peter, in the second chapter, we have a solemn warning from Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2. And this is what Peter writes by inspiration, verse 20 of chapter 2, have escaped the pollutions of this world. And then in verse 21, speaking of those who had knowledge and understanding, but they didn't apply it, or they didn't apply it consistently, in spite of knowledge, they go back. And they go back, though they've been delivered for a season, back to what they've been delivered from. Verse 21, it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. It were better they'd never known. You think of the poor heathen idolater in the jungle. He's brought to the judgment day and brought to the judgment seat alongside of a gospel hearer from Grafton. There they appear before God, the savage, who has never worshipped anything but an idol. And the gospel hearer, who's had all the privileges, who has known the way of salvation, and has escaped because of the influence of the gospel upon him or upon her. They've escaped many of the pollutions of this world. You think of you young people and others your age, where they are tonight. They're in the dens of iniquity. They're living in immorality. They are sinning blasphemously and defiantly against God, many because they don't know any better. It's what they've been born into, it's what they've been brought up with, and for them it is normal lifestyle. But some of you, because of your upbringing, you've been protected, you've been shielded, you've been warned against these things, and you've escaped many of those pollutions, as it were. Now you know what many others don't know. When the day of judgment and reckoning comes around, here's what Peter tells us. It would be better not to have known. It would be better not to have known than to have known and gone off into sin. Knowledge of the truth is important. It's a great privilege. Here's Lot's wife. She knew her danger. She knew how to escape. She knew where to escape. And she'd actually come out of Sodom. It appears she's on her way to safety. She's not in the city, but she's not in the place of refuge. She's in between, and it appears she's going in the right direction. She still perishes. Now, young people, you may be delivered from many of the pollutions of the world. And you may be, because of your childhood and your upbringing, and because of the influence of the gospel, you may live a respectable life. And you may have a regard for the word of God. You may have a regard for the people of God. And it may be even considered you're not far from the kingdom. You have the fear of God in you, so that you will not go too far and sin, as it were. You may secretly sin, but you're always afraid because conscience warns you, and you know the dangers of going foolishly in the broad way in rebellion against God. You know these things. But my dear friend, remember Lot's wife. There she was, it seemed, going in the right direction. But it wasn't enough. Even to be going in the right direction didn't save her. Young people, remember that. You may even attend the prayer meeting. You may at times, under conviction of sin, secretly pray yourself. But that isn't enough if you don't escape to Christ himself. Lot's wife, remember Lot's wife. With all her information, she still perished. Though she's out of Sodom and appears to be moving in the right direction, she still perishes. But then, we see not only that we are to remember Lot's wife for these reasons, for another reason. She perished in sight of safety. She was moving in the right direction. Lot and his daughters made it into the city of escape and refuge. She didn't. In many ways, she was very near to safety and salvation. She still perished. She still perished so near. And yet, in spite of being so near, she might as well have still been in the city itself. She might as well have perished among those terrible, wicked sinners in the city, because though she had safety in sight, the city of refuge is clearly marked before her. Lot points to it. Lot says to the angel, "Let me go to that city." She was present. She knew. She could see. That's the city we are aiming for. That's the city we must venture toward, and the city we must enter. And yet, in sight she perished. How many have gone from under the gospel straight to a lost eternity? How many have perished sitting in the very church, hearing the gospel with Christ presented to them? I was hearing of someone sitting in the service, listening to the gospel, and just in a moment, their life was ended, and they passed from time to eternity listening to the gospel where Christ Jesus was offered to them as a Savior. And they perish in the very sight of the Savior, as it were, who is the only hope for a sinner and the only salvation available to them. That is why Jesus warns, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife, how near she got, and yet she perished. Oh, how near. Almost persuaded to be a Christian. How near. I wonder how many tonight are in a lost eternity, and they were so near. You ask Judas Iscariot, how near did you ever come to the Savior? I came so near I even kissed him as a friend. I gave him the greeting of a friend, and he even addressed me as a friend. And yet he went to his own place, and he perished in his sin, in his rejection of the innocent blood. He said, I have betrayed the innocent blood. He knew what he'd done. He knew what he had done. He had sold the Savior for 30 pieces of silver. And for 30 pieces of silver, he now languishes in a lost eternity. How very, very solemn that that will haunt his conscience for all eternity. How near I was to the Savior, and yet I sold him for 30 pieces of silver. My, what a day it's going to be when the books are opened, as we mentioned it earlier today. There was a renowned neurosurgeon and neurosurgeon in Canada, actually in McGill University in Montreal. And he was a very scholarly, knowledgeable man of the regarding the workings of the human brain. Which has the human brain, I understand, as 12 billion cells. Just try to calculate that. 12 billion cells. This is what he said. Everything which has been in our conscious awareness is recorded in detail and stored in the brain and is capable of being played back in the present. You think of that. 12 million cells. And in those 12 million cells, everything which has been in our conscious awareness is recorded in detail and stored in the brain and is capable of being played back in the present. What he says is this, or did say, an electrode awakens or evokes a single recollection, not a mixture of memories or generalities. Now you ask yourself, why does the rational human being, created in the image of God, answerable to God and accountable to God, why does he have such a faculty? Why? The psalmist says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Because God has provided us with the faculty of a brain storing in detail everything we have consciously done, every thought we've had, every lie we've told, every motive we've had, everything is all stored. It's all there. And all it needs is to be evoked into present action, and there it is stored. Why? Why do we need that? Why would God create you and I with such a faculty, with such an amazing facility? Because, as a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, we were considering the rich man and his fields brought forth plentifully. What did he say? Soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry, so on. What did God say? Thy fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Now what happens when the soul returns to God? The body goes into the grave, the spirit returns unto God who gave it. God says thy soul is now required. When the soul returns to God, it brings back with it all that is stored there to await the day of judgment. And when the books are opened, the book of our own individual consciousness will be opened. And God will evoke all the memories. And the sinner will stand self-condemned because his own conscience, his own faculty that God has given him uniquely in creation has stored up all the facts to be brought before God. My, we are truly fearfully and wonderfully made. But God has made us the way he has made us for a reason. Oh, dear young people, you need to take those things seriously. How many times do we hear people say, oh, I've forgotten that. Oh, I don't remember that. Oh, yes, I forgot that. But it's all there. It's all stored. And it's all there for the day of judgment, when the books will be opened. Remember Lot's wife, that she was so near, and yet she perished. But when she perished, all her life didn't come to an end, as it were, in the sense that her past perished with her. We must always remember that. Many today think, the grave is the end. We are spiritual beings. We are created in the image of God. We are not like the beasts of the field. Remember Lot's wife, because she perished even though she was prayed over and others expressed concern for her and desire that she should be saved. You go back and you see Abraham. What's he doing? He's pleading for the cities. Are there any righteous Surely God, the judge of all the earth, Abraham, asked God this question, wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? Will thou do that? God's a God of justice. He won't do that. Abraham knew that. But Peter tells us that Lot was a righteous man, vexing his soul day by day with the evil and the sin of the city. And there was Abraham pleading with God, interceding. Will thou destroy the righteous? You can't destroy Lot. Remember Lot, remember his family. When justice descends on the cities, do justice and save Lot. Save his family if there's no one else. At least save him. Save the righteous. And then what do we find? Not only is there concern in the part of Abraham, but the angels that are coming to destroy the place, these men say, escape for thy life. And they even take hold of their hands to hasten them out. As though they drag them, we don't want you to perish here. We want you to be saved. Get out of here as fast as you can. And they drag them out. And Lot's wife, remember Lot's wife. She perished. Even though others were concerned that she should be saved. Oh, how many of you young people are here tonight and there is a concern for you. Your father, your mother are concerned for your soul. They pray for you. They talk to you. They warn you. Maybe even plead with you. But that's not going to save you. Unless you escape to the refuge, Christ himself. Remember Lot's wife. Those that were involved in her life. That were concerned that she should escape. Did no one try to help her? Does she stumble? Does she linger? Because there's no one there to encourage her to escape. We're told that they took hold of Lot and his daughters and his wife. They took hold of them by the hands and they took them out. They expressed concern. Abraham has been in secret. Lot may not know about it. Lot may never see it. All hidden from him. But there was a secret voice in the presence of God standing before God, pleading for Lot and his family. And some of you here, there's been secret prayers going up often for your soul that you might escape and that you might be saved and that you might be brought to know Christ, that you might escape from the danger and flee to the city of refuge, to Christ himself. But my dear friend, young people, you will not be saved unless you do embrace Christ and flee directly to him. This is why we are warned, remember Lot's wife. But then, she also experienced mercy, remember Lot's wife. Oh, she experienced genuine mercy. It was a great mercy that she was brought out of the city to begin with. When Lot began to speak to the men who have come to destroy the cities, what is the reason? How does he argue? Verse 16. While he lingered, the man laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful. The Lord being merciful, because he could have left them there in the city. But he was merciful. They actually experienced divine mercy. Lot's wife was a participant of the mercy of God. And then later on, you see verse 19, behold now, Lot says, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy. And again, he will mention it later, mercy. How many are in a lost eternity tonight who've experienced much of divine mercy, again and again in their providences? They have experienced mercy when they didn't deserve it. In their folly and in their sin, they may be been afflicted, but they were spared. Many there are, you could go to hospital wards, and you will see the result of folly on the part of many. And yet, they are preserved, and many under the gospel likewise, they are preserved. And many there are, when they look back in their providences in life, they can see, God was merciful, I could have died then. I could have perished then. Others in the same circumstances did, but I have been spared. God has been merciful to me in my providences. Here's a woman, and she leaves the scene of time as the recipient of mercy, and yet she still perished. She still perished. Remember Lot's wife, because she was in the company of those who were saved, and yet she herself perished. Lot was saved. His daughters were saved. And she was in their company. And she was journeying with them. And she was going in the same direction as them, it appears. But she perished. How many spent their lives in the company of the godly, around the means of grace, around the things of God, and yet they perished. And they went to a lost eternity, and their sins followed them to the judgment seat. She was in the company of those who, whatever else we know of them or learn of them, they did enter into the city of escape and refuge. And she was journeying alongside of them. And all she had to do was one simple thing. And she perished. She just had to do one simple thing, make one final sinful mistake. She looked back. We are told the angel said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee. Did she not know? Look not behind thee. Now she might have considered such an action of very little consequence, very little significance. What harm can that do? Just looking back, I'm not going back into the city. I'm not going to embrace the flames of judgment. I'm not running back to my old home. What difference does it make if I keep moving, if I just look back? What difference is it going to make? It was an act of disobedience. She, we're told, looked back. And that's all it needed. She hadn't even one moment to waste, even in the time to simply look back. She couldn't afford that. You see, you cannot trifle with God and His warnings. You cannot trifle with God and His word as Lot's wife did. She was told directly with Lot and his daughters, whatever you do, you escape, you flee in haste, and you do not look back. And she disobeyed, and she looked back, and she perished. Oh, my friend, it is a solemn thing to trifle with God and with His warnings. I read of an occasion some time ago, a man with others was coming out of a coal mine, a large coal mine, years ago in a place called Shanakin in Pennsylvania. And as they were coming out from their shift of work, there was a fearful, fearful storm on the side of the mountain. Rain, wind, howling, a gale, thunder and lightning flashing, forked lightning in every direction. And there was a man who was given to blasphemy and mocking of God and mocking the things of God. And when he came out, and others were seeing the terrible scene, the thunder, the gales, the lightning, he jokingly said, God must be having a beer party. And he said, for the noise is the sound of the beer kegs clashing together. And then he clenched his fist and he cursed God. And as he did, a flash of lightning struck him down there before his fellow workers. And he went out into eternity, and the last words on his lips were the curse against God. My dear friend, you do not trifle with God. And we cannot afford to trifle with the warnings of God any more than Lot's wife did. How near she got, and yet it wasn't near enough. And it isn't near enough just to know about Christ. It isn't near enough to know that He's a willing Savior. It isn't near enough to be familiar with His promises, with His welcoming promises. When He says, Him that cometh, I will in no wise cast out. And we may be very familiar with those promises. And we may hear them again and again. And we may get so near that we're ready to embrace Christ, but still we hold to our old sin. Oh, we would like to be saved, but we don't want the narrow path. We would like to be sure of heaven, but we would like to carry our sins with us. Oh, how many get near to Christ, just as that rich young ruler came. And he was ready to follow Christ, but on his terms. And here is Lot's wife. And it seems she's ready to escape. And it seems she's on her way to salvation. But it seems she wants to escape, and she wants to do it her way. She's commanded not to look back, but she wants to go to the city and escape. She does not wish to perish in the city, but it's as though she's saying, I will go on my terms. and she perished. You will never, my dear friend, ever be saved except in God's terms. That is certain. And therefore we are warned, remember Lot's wife. She perished within sight of salvation. Remember Lot's wife, she had all the information. She still perished. She had all the knowledge needed. She was given clear directions. And yet she still perished and was lost forever. That's why Jesus says, remember Lot's wife, because she stands as a warning to every sinner that has the privilege of knowing the way of salvation and yet does not come to Christ in the exercise of faith. Once more this very evening, Christ is offered to every sinner here in this building. But it isn't good enough that you hear the offer, that you appreciate it, that you have regard for it, that you enjoy hearing it, unless, my dear friend, you will embrace Christ by faith as your personal Savior. You will perish in your sins and you will go to a lost eternity, taking your knowledge of these things with you, taking the information with you to eternity, and brought at last to the judgment seat when all that you have, all the experiences, all the privileges, all the decisions you've made under the gospel will all meet you again. How solemn is our lot, passing from time to eternity. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. Most holy and eternal God, we bow before thee, the great God of eternity, and the great God of providence, the God who sets before us the way of life and the way of death, the God who has privileged us here with a knowledge, with an understanding of the way of salvation. Oh, remember those who know the way and may even appear to have some concern to be on that way, and yet they are not safe in Christ. Do thou enable them, we pray, to cast themselves by faith on Christ Jesus as the only hope for a sinner, the only way of salvation, the only place of refuge from the great storm in eternity. Hear us, we pray, pardon us, accept us. For the Redeemer's sake, amen.